Old MacDonald had a farm.
E-I-E-I-O.
With a baba.
Here.
And a baba.
There.
Everywhere a baba. I don't remember the rest of the song. Cue the music. Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu. We don't evolve. We just level up. Brandon, hello.
Hello.
We are talking The Boys today, and I will at least do The Acolyte by myself. If not, Donald will be joining us. Brandon, were you ready to sing a song this morning?
My singing wasn't really a song, but I was a...
I don't know if I could say that one either.
But, you know. It wasn't the worst cold open that I've been a part of. At least I knew what I was supposed to do.
What was number one?
Oh, I don't know. There's been a couple where I just had no idea what to even say to you.
Just blanked?
Yep.
I mean, I blanked on just the song. I'm like, shoot, I don't sing this song often enough. I should. I have kids.
Yep.
But I work at a school. You think that would translate, but no. No, it does not. So, Brandon, hello. We missed you the last... I think preview and the first four episodes of The Boys.
Yeah.
The preview is fine because you're all playing Warhammer.
Yep.
And winning. So.
Yep. Yep.
Cheers to you on that.
Thank you. Coffee cheers.
In preview, we had you on, but I know you definitely wanted to talk about episode five. And I think this is the episode that's definitely worth it for you to talk about because this is kind of like, I don't know if this is going to be the Gen 5 episode, but. Very much a Gen 5 episode.
Gen B. Who calls it Gen 5?
Sorry, I think in Roman numerals.
You just called it Gen V a second ago, then you started calling it Gen 5 all of a sudden.
I don't know.
It's okay.
I have like that version of like dyslexia where like I switch the word, like I do the opposite of what I mean. Mm. I say, hey, like I did it yesterday. I was like, hey, look to your right, and I meant left. Mm-hmm.
That's not confusing at all.
No. The funny thing is, I was with a dyslexic person. And they looked left. So it worked out.
Oh, well, there you go. So two lefts do make a right. All right.
Well, yeah, but not four. Or does it? I don't know. All right. So let's talk about, let's get into what you're nerding out on.
The Pokemon MMO mostly. And some One Piece still slowly working our way to the finish line.
Okay, let's talk One Piece because this is one of the first times I know I've done this before. I kind of stopped with One Piece this week.
Wow, falling behind.
I finished Dressrosa.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What'd you think?
So it was good. I understand why you said it's up there. I don't know if I'd put it up there.
Like,
I think Water 7.
Did you completely like they've left Dressrosa?
Yeah, we're in the silver mine now. I think that's the last episode.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little filler part, I think, the silver mine stuff.
Yeah, it kind of felt that way. I haven't looked at the list of like what is filler, what's not filler, in case I wanted to skip it. I'm just kind of like going forward with
it. It's only a couple episodes, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was like four. Mm. We finished one of them. But we kind of stopped there. One of the reasons why is because I've been watching so much TV lately with The Boys, Acolyte, House of Dragons. It's kind of been
busy
taking up my felt. Yeah, busy. Mm. And also just like One Piece is so long, like the arcs are so long. And at this point, they're just getting longer.
Yep.
You know, I know Whole Cake. Is that the Whole next Cake arc? Island. The next
Yeah. Bigger?
It's like what, 80 episodes?
Yeah, that one. It's not quite as long.
Yeah, but then after that, it's Wano, and that's 200 plus.
Yep, but then you're done, or caught up.
Yeah, I know, but it's you know you gotta pace yourself a little bit. At least that's how I'm feeling with it. But it was good. It was up there. I think it's definitely an argument for like best saga, best arc.
Mm.
I'm still sitting on like where I would put it. I think it is Water 7 and Marineford. Marineford just, it didn't feel like One Piece, but it was just so much.
Yeah.
Like lore, so much happening in that like arc alone.
Yeah.
So I feel like that one, I don't know, between those two are up there, but Dressrosa is like a third.
I really enjoy Dressrosa. I think Doflamingo is one of the best villains in the whole show.
I mean, he is a sadistic asshole, to put it kindly. Like, he, yeah. But, and it's, I like One Piece for the fact that, like, they always explain their characters. Even if, like, you don't even want it, they'll give it to you. Yep. And you'll be like, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they're good at sympathizing with villains and stuff like that, or like showing empathy towards people that normally you would just write off as completely evil, but there was some you know, reasons and motives behind things.
Like, I get why he was an evil piece of shit, but he's still an evil piece of shit, which Homelander, I mean, is on that line too.
Yeah,
with episode 4, you're like, oh, that's why he's a piece of that's why he's a monster.
Yeah.
Still a fucking monster, and he still deserves all the horrible things that
doesn't excuse what they've done, but yeah, it definitely explains things.
Yeah. Let's talk Pokemon MMO for a moment, because I know that's something that I kind of like was hoping to get you on it, and then you definitely got on it, and now you're already ahead of me.
Yeah, it's your fault. I never would have known those things existed if it wasn't for you. Now here I am.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I'll take the blame.
It's kind of, yeah. Three regions down. I beat Hoenn, Unova, and Johto. I'm on Sinnoh right now. I'm saving Kanto for last.
Kanto for last. I feel like that might be the shortest one too.
Yep.
And you're going hard. I haven't finished a single one. I went back to Johto for a little bit, and then I realized I had to beat Ho-Oh, and I'm like, even with all my Pokemon at 48, I'm like,
that was a tough fight. That was a tough fight. I did it yesterday. It summons all three of the legendary dogs and even revives like one time. Yep. I first tried it, but it was tough. I didn't think I was going to. I didn't know what to expect.
Capped at 48.
Yep.
So I think that was my stopping point. And I haven't touched it since, but been busy.
I've first tried all three of the Elite Four so far, and I want to continue that to the end. That's my goal, just by being as prepared as I can. So
nice. Anything else on the nerding out?
Not really. Just been busy with that stuff and work, and
that's fair. For me, Minecraft Stadium, I continued on that. I got a lot done yesterday. That's a bigger project than I ever imagined, but it's looking great. I won't show it off on this site or this channel until it's like complete.
Yep.
Like it's gonna be completed before I show, but I'll show off to like friends. And then from there, TV shows. Oh, I did put One Piece. I just put it as Dressrosa. Finished Dressrosa.
Okay.
Yeah, right, let's get into the news. Yes. Get into the news.
It's time for a news quickie.
First bit of news. I had this on last week, but you weren't here, so like, no one could really react to it. Invincible. There is rumors that it's probably coming out early 2025.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's still like 8 months away, 9 months away, or something like that.
I believe it was. One of the original illustrators mentioned that he expects it early 25, but he also is like, I don't know anything. I'm not the official person. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble, but I expect it early 2025.
Okay. I mean, that'd be good. It'd be nice to not have to wait many years again. It keeps the hype train rolling.
Apparently, I think it's one of the shows that you mentioned. It was the Superman show. I forget what it's called.
The cartoon Adventures with Superman. Daily Adventures of Superman.
Apparently the current like arc and season of that show is very familiar to what season 3 will be like.
Okay.
Rather than an article. But apparently, according to the article I read, they expect Invincible to be a lot better and more in tune.
Yeah.
Similar
storyline. I will say that the Daily Adventures of Superman was pretty good for the first handful episodes I watched. I don't think I watched all of it, but it wasn't bad.
I should watch that.
It's kind of a refreshing take on Superman.
Yeah. We got One Piece news. Did you see the One Piece news?
What one? The casting news?
Yeah, they casted like most of Baroque Works.
Yeah, I did see it. I didn't really look at who they cast, but I did see the news about it.
Did you see the big name?
Maybe. What was the big name?
Okay, so there's actually two big names. One's rumored. The one's like the one that everyone's trying to get, and that is Jamie Lee Curtis.
As yeah, Kira. Yep, I've heard. That she wanted to and stuff before.
Yep. But the big name of the cast was Dave Desmulsion. I completely he's Polka Dot Man from Suicide Squad.
Oh,
okay. Curtis from Ant-Man. He's going to play Mr. Three.
Okay, yeah. I think that's good casting.
Yeah, I'm like, it's probably the biggest name that's on the show so far. And I'm like, ooh, I'm excited. I would almost want him as I'm Bon Voy.
Bon Clay.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm like Bon Clay. I'm like, that's like the one that I first thought of. I'm like, ooh,
yeah,
good for that. And I saw Mr. Three. I'm like, well, they're very similar in that regard.
Yeah, they are very
I'm like,
kind of similar characters in a way.
I'm excited for that episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The
like
on Whiskey.
Is it Whiskey Island? No, it was on. It was before that. It was on the garden
with the two giants. Yeah. No, that's after they meet him, isn't it? Because I guess we're talking about two different parts. I'm thinking about the part when they first meet Baroque Works and Zoro takes like all of them out.
That could be. I'm
blanking. Okay.
During events. So I'm looking at the other news, and I have it in the order that I didn't want to do it. Did you see the new Deadpool trailer?
No.
Oh.
As it starts to get close to like movies and stuff, I try to like avoid watching that stuff because I already want to see the movie. I don't need more, spoilers.
You're gonna
for
be
the
my
movie.
Are you gonna be my Deadpool guy?
To go see it?
Yeah,
I'm down.
You're gonna come see it with me, right?
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. I haven't seen a movie in theaters in a long time.
Okay, that's going to be your homework for the next 2 weeks. Can I spoil the little bit of news?
Yeah.
The little trailer.
Yeah.
They revealed that Sabretooth, they revealed the precursor fighting scene of Sabretooth versus Wolverine.
Okay.
And it's freaking hilarious. It seems like it was like the first moment they like met or like had their first fight scene. It looks great. I'm like, the more I see, the more they reveal, I am very much like excited and about this movie. Like,
did they get Liev Schreiber to play Sabretooth again, or is it more like the original Sabretooth guy?
It looks like the original Sabretooth
from like the original X-Men movies,
but I thought Liev Schreiber was going to be the Sabretooth for this movie.
I do love him as an actor. I think he's great.
Yeah, and he was great. He was like the best part of Origins.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, he was like the best part of Origins was his Sabretooth.
I thought he was going to be the movie. It didn't look like him.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. Especially, it's probably only going to be a few minutes or something like that. I doubt he'll even be a big character. So that's fair. But I do like Liev Schreiber.
All right. Big last parting news. Eric Kripke was talking about Supernatural. Kripke. Yes. Yeah. He was talking about Supernatural and about the ending. And one of the big things he was talking about was how he's going to end. He wanted to end Supernatural after 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. And someone asked him if the boys. Someone asked him about the boys, and like when this first started after the first season, he said 5 seasons. But recently, he was talking about how he's like, no, I'm the worst person to ask. Look at Supernatural; it went on for 15, like it went on 10 plus years than I thought. So I'm the wrong person to ask. But they did confirm that it's ending after season 5. It has been confirmed.
I think that is probably for the best. Honestly.
Yes.
I think Supernatural is one of my favorite shows of all time, and I'm glad that it is what it is, but it definitely peaked at season 5, and it probably, like, if it would have ended there, it would probably be held a lot higher in people's regards.
Yeah, and he's a lot more watchable.
Yep. But I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I've watched it multiple times. I'll watch it again.
So Eric Kripke was talking about how he would have ended Supernatural. Someone asked him how he would have ended it, and he said, "One, they did talk to me about the ending, and I told him if I could write a better ending, I'll send it to you." And then his response was after a few days was, "I couldn't come up with a better ending. I think you got it right." But then he went on to talk about how if he ended Supernatural, people wouldn't like his ending because it was super dark. And he said this recently, and it made me think, like, The Boys is going to be a super depressing ending, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm expecting a slaughter of, like, most of the characters, except for, like, I have, like, three I think are going to make it, maybe four.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it going down like that. Even, like a almost apocalyptic style ending where, like, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of hope, like the good guys may have prevailed, but like the destruction that's left in its wake and stuff is going to be crazy, I bet.
Necessary.
Yeah.
What? So yeah, that was the big news. And also Jensen, I wrote ankles. Jensen Ankles.
Don't hate on my boy like that.
Jared and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, they all got matching tattoos for Supernatural, and it seems like Jared's coming for season 5.
Yeah, I heard it's like all what confirmed. I mean, he's gotten pretty much everyone else that has all the other main characters except for like Crowley. Well, no, has Mark Shepard been in The Boys?
Sounds familiar.
I almost feel like he could have had a cameo in there. It wouldn't surprise me.
How about this? You look it up. I gotta go take a break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
All right. We're back. Brandon, what'd you find?
Mark Shepard has not been in The Boys yet. I think he could fit perfectly, though. He's like one of my favorite actors. Do you know who he is, right? Probably the British guy.
Yeah, I've seen. So I've only watched up to Isaac's calling. Hi, Isaac.
Hi, Isaac.
Big supporter, yeah. Friend of the show. Yeah, yeah. I'm not answering his phone call.
And you're live.
And I'm live. Well, kind of recording. Yeah. I have not made any progress in my own watching of Supernatural. I stopped at season 4, which I really should probably
at least finish season 5.
But wife, big fan of Supernatural. So at one point she was watching, I think. I don't know. She did it in like weird order. She like at one point was watching season 7, then jumped to season 9, then went back to season 8.
The last time I watched it backwards.
Yeah.
I've done that with a few shows.
Okay.
Watched it season season backwards.
I don't remember which season Crawley's in, but I've seen a lot of them. Yeah. So I know who Mark Shepard like is. I've seen him. Is he season? Okay. I've seen him.
Yeah. I think
so. I know of him.
I did find something else out that I found kind of interesting. I didn't realize. So you probably don't know who Kevin is from Supernatural, but he's a pretty big character later on in the show. And he is
what's his name?
Kevin Tran. That's his name in Supernatural. Okay. He's a pretty big character later on. But I didn't realize it. He's the one that plays Black Noir now. The one that got cast.
Is he?
Yeah.
Was he recast? I thought it was the same actor.
No, it's a different actor now.
It's a completely different actor?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now he's got, I thought it was like, the same actor who played him last season.
Yeah, no, because now he's got like voice roles and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't think he played him before, but he is the one that plays him now.
Is, I'm trying to think how to phrase this. Is he black?
No, he's Asian.
He's Asian. Yeah. Okay. I asked because like in the show, they made a point where like, hey, we have two black members in the 7 and a black adjacent character. Yeah. And they're like, what is this show? The show they're black at it.
Yeah. That's so like, good thing. Yeah.
I'm like, well, the original, I thought the original actor was still playing Black Noir. So I'm like, well.
Yeah, no, apparently not.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize that either, but that's funny.
I think he's still, I think he does the body work of Black Noir.
Maybe, or maybe, I mean, I could see him playing somebody else too. We don't, do we ever even see his face?
No.
That's what I thought.
We're not even supposed to hear him talk, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, not originally, but
yeah. Okay. Let's recap on the boys a little bit since this is your first time being on. What's your thoughts on season four? Just episode 1 through 4. Not so much 5 yet.
I mean, I've been enjoying it. It's definitely it's different this season. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, it just seems strange.
Yeah, like something's just like, I don't know, maybe it's just like not as grandeur. I don't know, maybe it's the fact that we're like lacking like the new kind of villain in a way.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is, that it just doesn't feel quite
well, because like that was like one of the first TikTok questions I had was, does it seem off to you? Does it seem strange? Because it like, it felt like a different show
a little bit. Like, it's still the boys, but yeah, it's got like something a little bit different going on. I can't quite pinpoint it.
I mean, it doesn't help that MM looks weird now.
Yeah,
they said like he just shaved. I'm like, no, the dude's like thick.
Yeah, he lost like 50 pounds or something like that.
Like, and then Starlight, Erin Moriarty, like she, I don't know what she did to her face, but like it's clearly different. Like, she also looks like super thin too.
Yeah, so you have the buccal fat removal where they like suck the fat out of your cheeks.
Yeah,
and it's really popular. It looks, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
I don't think most star. I don't see anyone be like, yeah, she looks so much better now.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still like, very, it's one of those things like I don't wrong,
but yeah,
yeah. It's like one of those things, like, I don't really want to touch it because I'm like, I don't want to criticize her for too much, but it's off.
Mm.
But I also think, like, there was a time skip. So there's a little bit of, like, Butcher's no longer in charge. Mm. That was the same case in, like, season 3, but he's still, like, in charge of the team. On top of the fact that, like, there's just a new power dynamic. Mm. Like, Starlight is now on the team. Like, they're not. They don't. The boys themselves don't act like a co-op team. They act as like a superhero team from like a CW show. Yeah, like that's
a little bit
what it kind of.
They're not going and shoving C4 up people's asses and blowing them up anymore.
No, they're like, oh, the city's in trouble. Let's go save them. And then like MM's like punching people like on the streets. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing in the open? You're like, you're a CIA operative,
right? Like at like the top of the chain. Yeah, you're out there fighting street thugs.
Yeah, so there's just like there's some like writing too that just feels a little bit worse. But I still I gave it a 4-. What did you give it? So far
I think around there, because there's definitely like points that I'm like really interested in still. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'd say around there too, probably.
Yeah, I'm like, it's still a great show. It's still like, there's just, I would say so far from what I see, it seems like it's going to be the worst season. But that doesn't mean it's a bad season.
Yeah, it could end on a really big note. And I think if anything, it's building up for season 5, which is a little bit unfortunate when you're in it. But at the, you know, it's going to make, hopefully be worth it once season 5 comes out at all counts.
Yeah, you hope so. I don't know. I think traditionally shows that have like their season before the last season, if it ends strongly, typically that's like the best bet rather than sacrificing the season to build another season. Mm. But we'll see. Who's your MVP
so far?
Episode 1 through 4.
Oh
yeah, me and Tom, we figured it out.
Okay, I haven't really even thought about this. I feel like everyone is kind of just like shitty.
Everyone but one. And the one,
I mean,
is the one I give it.
I mean, there is one person that is like going through redemption, kind of, and that's A-Train. And I kind of saw it coming before. I felt like he would, you know, he deserved it almost.
Yeah.
So is that who you gave it to?
Yeah, it was A-Train. Tom had no like hesitation. I'm like, it feels weird giving it to A-Train, but I'm like, A-Train, he's the best character. I thought it was either him or the Deep going on this redemption arc. That was kind of like, I talked about it in the preview a lot, was the Deep, A-Train. They're both like on this weird redemption arc. Mm-hmm. A-Train was at first like, was selfish in his redemption arc, whereas the Deep was stupid listening to other people, but like you kind of just felt bad for him.
It does kind of seem like they diverted now though. Because I wouldn't say that. Yeah. I feel like the Deep like doubled down at this point instead of continuing on like
becoming. I will suck a cock.
Yeah.
He doubled down. Yeah, like, yeah. He's willing to do that.
I mean, he murdered
like,
those people with Noir, just and baseball bats and stuff. He didn't have no problem with that.
What are your thoughts on New Noir?
One of the best additions to the show. Just having somebody there that's just kind of like questioning things, even if it's quietly. It's still like no hesitation. Like he just murdered the crap out of them. It's like, that was really messed up, guys.
I love the joke though, because he's an actor. He's like, guys, what's my motivation? Like, I'm just trying to figure out what I should be doing here. And everyone's like, shut up.
Yeah, just don't talk. Yeah, just exist.
Don't talk. Yeah. They're like, what's my motivation? You're a silent murdering psychopath. Like, that's your motivation. Mm-hmm. Just every time. Shut up. Not supposed to talk.
I'm excited to see what
me too. What moments stood out to you so far?
I mean, the part where they did kill the three dudes in the supporters or whatever of Homelander, baseball bats, that part does definitely sticks with me. Although I'm kind of drawing a blank as far as like, there's a lot of littler things. What else?
There's a lot of shit happening.
Yeah.
I mean, Homelander straight up just murdering people like left and right. Homelander massacring his old like the lab he's from.
That was pretty messed up.
Like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, Anthony Starr, he improvised that whole laugh at the end. Like that was not in the script. He just went at it. I still don't know if that dude like in real life is a piece of shit or if he's like actually a good person. But like anytime I see like interviews or like people talk, like everyone seems like they love and enjoy him. But like it seems like he just acts like Homelander in real life too.
You know, have you ever heard of Auntie Donna's House of Fun? Mm-hmm. Auntie Donna is a sketch group. They have a show on Netflix that they got. And they have a sketch with Anthony Starr in it. And you just need to watch that one part with him in it. And it's so great, especially when you think about him as like Homelander, because that's what we just picture him as.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it, but you should look it up when you have a chance. Maybe I'll send it to you.
What is that again?
Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. It's a great sketch show, too. It's super funny. It's one of my favorites.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. All right. I gave you a choice for the cold open between nursery rhyme or poem. And you chose nursery rhyme. But I did want to mention the poem because the title of the episode is Beware the Jabberwock, My Son. And I wanted to look it up because I'm like, the first thing that reminded me of was the Wabbajack from Skyrim. And I thought it was maybe like an Alice in Wonderland like reference because Alice in Wonderland, like that was a reference in Skyrim. It's just the weapon that like literally just does random shit. It's kind of cool. But it wasn't that. It was Jabberwock. And I'm like, what's the reference? I know it's referring to something. It's actually referring to a poem.
Okay.
All right. I got to pull it up real quick. So it's a poem by Lewis Carroll. Okay. Called Jabberwocky. So I'm just going to read a little bit of it. "'Twas Brillig and the slithy toves did gear and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the jaws that catch. Beware the Jubjub burr and the shun, the frumious bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the man zone foe he sought, so rested he by the tuntum tree and stood a while in thought." And I'm not gonna butcher this poem any further.
That was a mouthful.
I didn't read this beforehand, and I'm reading this. I'm like,
oh man,
I do not.
I don't even know what
there's so many words. But it like, I might have to look this up afterwards and maybe like add my two cents into it, but it's referring to this poem and I thought it was just interesting. And I'm like wondering what the Jabberwock is. Like I almost just want to like Google see like image. Maybe there's like an image. Okay, everything that's pulling up is a dragon.
Okay.
So I was just curious. I thought it was a really interesting title. And I'm like, how does this refer to this episode? And let's talk about it. So the first little bit of this episode is Huey Sr. I forget that his name is actually Huey because I was wondering what his dad's name is. Mm. Huey Sr. wakes up from his coma and his mom basically said like, hey, I saw that you had the V and I injected it with him.
Mm.
Which I kind of wish Huey did it.
Yeah.
Because he decided not to. He decided to let his dad go and his mom did it. And I felt like this was a good moment that had a lot of costly stakes for Huey. So let's kind of just go bit by bit and let's talk about this arc in its full entirety. So spoiler alerts if you haven't watched this episode. Also, why are you listening to this if you haven't watched it yet?
That's fair.
So Huey Sr. wakes up. He's looks great, seems great. Like he almost seems like he has more energy than he's ever had in his life.
Yep.
Right. He's up. He's walking. Him and his dad kind of talk through them some things. It seems like this moment had that bonding moment that they were needed for the last 20 years. Mm. Right. His dad. Huey asks his dad, "Why did you trust me with this decision? Like, I am your closest relative. Why didn't you trust me?" And his dad basically said, like, you do not have the will to kill. You do not have the will to let it go. And they referenced the bunny. I forget the bunny's name.
Jar Jar. How could you forget
Jar
that?
Jar? I knew it was something.
I'm sorry.
You know, man. But yeah. He referenced Jar Jar. Like, you let Jar Jar die. You let Jar Jar die in a horrific way, and I felt like that would have been me.
Mm.
And I didn't want to be Jar Jar. And I thought it was just a really good point, because the show is hinting at Butcher, right?
Mm.
Like, that's the theme, like, the overall theme. Like, hey, you're holding on to Butcher.
Yep. Yep.
You have to let him go. Like, he's not good for you. And of course, shit goes bad. They cut back to it. He's not there. And they find him in a room. He has a heart in his hand. Yeah. He's super confused. And they tease the fact that like there was something wrong with him. They didn't reveal too much from the initial scene, but then shit went crazy. He's phasing in and out of people. He's just going on a massacre. And then his memory is almost like backwards. Where, like, he remembers the time where Huey's 11 and he is like references, I have to go get a Tech Knight doll.
Mm.
And then he sees Daphne, the mom, and he's just like, I'm going to murder you. And it's kind of scary. And it ends with the moment where Huey has to defend his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was a moment too between Huey and mom where, like, or the last episode, episode 4, where she basically said, like, yeah, I let you guys go, but like, I had to leave. I was gonna kill myself. Like, post mortem, like, I just couldn't be here, and your dad wouldn't let me come back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a really tragic family moment because they finally had that connecting moment and then ripped away. Like, it's very much written in that regard. Mm-hmm. And they, Huey defends mom. And then dad basically, like, once he comes to, they all pretty much agreed that, like, they have to kill him.
Yeah, have to let him go.
What was your thoughts on all of that?
It's so sad. It's all so sad.
Yeah. I also want to say Sean Penn finally got something to do.
You mean, I was going to say. I was like, with Sean Penn?
I said it. I was like, wait.
Yeah. He got to stretch those acting chops because he really pulled it out there.
I wonder if he like asked if he could just like get out or if it, like, because I thought the killing off Simon Pegg, Huey's dad, it felt like a lot of much. I also had one question, like, both Starlight and Huey are going through shit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where like my suspension of like disbelief, like, his mom gives him the engagement ring for Starlight, but like, she's not there.
Yeah.
and he's not there for Starlight. And I thought it was just an interesting, like, is this like a writer thing where they just missed on this moment where they should be together? Or is this like they're, as a couple, not that strong? Because it seems like they're dealing with their own shit.
Right, they're kind of, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
So there's that scene. And I actually really liked, I didn't like that, like, Huey's going through even more shit now and he had to lose his dad, but I also like what it means. Mm. The overall theme. You have to let go. You have to let go of toxic people. You have to let go of toxic situations. Like, you can't just let it grow to be this ugly thing. And I'm, like, curious. It feels like he's going to have to let somebody go. And I know I said Butcher already. Mm. But I'm just curious what it's going to look like.
I mean, Butcher has to make it to the end, right? Like, I mean, he obviously probably is going to die at the end, but he's got to make it to the end of the show, right?
He's making it to the end of season 4.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to make it to the end of the show, I feel like. Something's got to give. I know he's, like, looking real rough, but I think something's going to pop out and give him that last bit, because there's no way, like, season 5 without him in it would be a travesty.
I don't know how I feel about that. Because, like, obviously I think Carl Urban having Butcher to the very end of the show seems like the right idea. But also they would subvert so many expectations if he dies this season.
Yeah. I could see a fake out.
But I do.
At the end of the season.
Yeah. But I do agree, though. Like, it probably ends with Butcher dying.
Well, at least let the man get, you know, his revenge before he goes. He might not deserve it, but, you know, at least let him do the thing that he's been trying to do this whole time.
Maybe he goes to kill, like, he goes to sacrifice himself, and Huey's like, no, and then he's like, beware the Jabberwock, my son, and he's like, oh, I'll let you go now, or something along the lines. Is this the B story? Like, this got to be the B story, right?
Of this episode.
Yeah, because the A story was very much the boys going to try to get Compound B, the virus.
Yeah, I almost feel like that was more B story.
It felt like a B story. Yeah,
it kind of felt like they were both almost B stories this week a little bit.
It kind of feels, I know I keep seeing people say that this is filler episode. And I don't think this is a filler episode, because, like, what they're doing progresses the story in many, many ways. Whereas filler is just filler. But I will say the writing on this episode felt very fillery, and it's a new time writer. It's Judalina Neera. We don't usually look up a whole lot of writers, but I was curious because I'm like, this episode felt off, because there's just many like moments where they're like traveling from like one farm building to another farm building, and they're just walking in the woods, and they're like paired up in six, and they're all having these like conversations, and I'm like, this just doesn't feel like, it just feels forced, you know, like, hey, we're walking together, we're gonna talk now. I'm like, yeah, they just witnessed somebody die, you know, they're with somebody who can blow their head up in any fucking moment, like, why does this feel so casual?
Yeah, right, it seems like this,
and also just
the stakes should have been a little higher.
You had the boys there, you had Edgar, who's like the leader of Vought there, as well as Victoria Newman, who's like a big play, like, it just, like, this is such a B story for this group of characters.
It almost starts to make it a little confusing, like, who. I mean, I guess it is supposed to be kind of confusing who the bad guys are, but, like, at some point it kind of just feels like everyone's the bad guy.
Yeah, oh, especially this season. Yeah. It, like, you know, like, outside of, like, Frenchie, we learned that he murdered, like, somebody, and, like, we murdered someone's, like, entire family.
Yeah, well, he's murdered a lot of people. But yeah, he's just fine. His guilt is,
and then like
after hooking up with a guy,
and he felt guilt. He was guilty before, and then he's like, "All right, I'm gonna make up." He's like, "Oh, this person's such a lost soul, and they're so great, so let's fuck them," and then reveal it. And I'm like, "Do you just realize that like the guy responded, you're a psychopath?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's fucking psychopathic shit. Like, if you murdered someone's entire family, you felt guilty, and it was like, I'm gonna try to make up for it, but." You know, instead of just revealing my nature or what happened and explaining it, I'm going to fuck you first. And like, fuck, like, it wasn't purposeful.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's so fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
So it's like hard. it's hard to like cheer for Frenchie. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to cheer for Starlight at this point because she's just punching people left and right now.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
MM is just kind of just feels like a weak leader.
Yeah, I mean, which... he's got his rash going on, his stress hives mm-hmm. and stuff. He's definitely kind of, it's kind of hinting at like he's not meant to be the leader of this group.
Yeah,
which almost makes you wonder, like, who is then? If it's,
and then Butcher is, oh my,
yeah, oh, what a mess.
Okay, where do you want to go next? Do we want to talk about like what happened with the boys since we're
here? Yeah, might as well get into that.
Okay, so let's
starts with
let's talk Butcher. Let's talk Butcher first, okay. And we'll go into it. What do you think of Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character?
I like it. Very suave and just kind of, he's like the quintessential like CIA guy that's like the dark side, you know.
Can I go on conspiracy theory,
sure,
for you? I don't think he's real.
You think, oh, I like,
he doesn't interact with any other person. Yeah. Last scene, like, I feel like it makes it very obvious that he's not real, but I also have a second.
But he does.
Know, we'll wait.
Yeah, he does. He does say that like they've met before and stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Who else also talks about how they met and stuff before too? Who is obviously not real?
I don't.
Rebecca.
Oh, his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's constantly.
Oh, it's just, so you're saying that you think that he was a real person, but now he's hallucinating. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I thought you were saying like making mm-hmm. up the whole character, mm-hmm. but that could track. I could see that. I mean, he's definitely got something going on in his brain. He's got worms in there.
I have a theory of what it is, but let's go through this first and then we'll talk. I just want to mention, because in that scene, Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Butcher was like, hey, let's do this job on our own.
Mm.
Let's do this, just me and you. Just fuck everybody else. These are all the reasons why they all suck. And I think, like, you have two soups on your team. He's like, hey, I'll give you Starlight, but, like, Kimiko is great. Mm. She's a great weapon.
Mm.
Which, no, she's a great person, Butcher.
Fuck yeah, me. Right.
She's like the one, like, outside of A-Train, like, she's the one character that I'm like...
It's funny, because I was going to mention her, too, aside from A-Train. That was the other person when I was thinking about.
I don't think she's definitely not, like, the MVP, because I don't think she's done enough, but I think she's...
All, but...
She's the one that I'm like, yes, Kimiko, like, you're the one person I could cheer for. Mm-hmm. Huey's starting to get there, like, he's working his way back. Mm. But...
Yeah, oh, yeah, I love Kimiko.
All right, so Butcher reveals that he knows of a virus that Victoria Newman has,
mm.
and very much this is the tie-in episode for Gen V, not Gen 5, Gen V. Mm. And so they go get Edgar from prison, and I know they mention, like, him being in prison makes sense when you think about, like, what happened and why he disappeared,
mm.
but I didn't know, they never, like, talked about where he was or what he was doing. And I thought this was an interesting moment to, like, bring him back.
Mm. I mean, I'm always happy.
So anyway, they talk about getting him a pardon, which I thought was really, like, snap, they have a pardon. Like, they know the president, they talk to the president often, but I feel like there should have been a scene, be like, really, Stan Edgar, you're going to let the VOC guy out?
Right.
Like, we finally got him.
I do think it does kind of just show the sheer desperation, though, that they're willing to just, like, mm-hmm. immediately offer him a pardon if it means... helping them.
Did you know, so they talk him in, it's revealed that Victoria Newman juiced her daughter up with V, which kind of get him to the point where, like, convinces him to join up with them and to figure out where the virus is. They go back to the family farm. Before they get into the van, though, did you recognize the Gus Fring reference?
No, I missed it.
He look at the van, he's like, this is really dirty, thank you for this, do you guys have a towel over the seats? And it might not, just the fact that he asked for a towel, and I think of Gus Fring, because, like, before he, like, goes to puke out the poison, he puts a towel down on the ground,
it all up all night,
and I'm like, it's either this actor really much, like, is a very clean person, and I could believe it, mm-hmm. or I feel like he's referencing, like, Gus Fring a little bit.
Yeah, it could be a little nod.
Yeah. So it seemed like it was a nod there. I just want to know if you caught it or not.
Can we take one break real quick?
No.
1 second.
No. All right. So getting back to the main story. Mm. So the boys, they go to the farm. They go to Stan Edgar's former rec room, and they find that they're working on the bee.
Around the virus.
The virus. And then they go to, I believe, a farm, or Victoria Newman shows up because everyone's bloody. I don't know. It's so weird that she just doesn't murder them all.
Yeah, well, they had, because if she murders them, then they're going to release the fact that she's a soup.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I feel like it's like a misbelief type of thing where, like, I have to, like, suspension of misbelief. Like, I have to, like, believe that she's going to, like, I don't know. It just feels like her character would murder them all.
Yeah.
If she's trying to get ahead.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's a little not weak. Murdering them. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't seem like that's the threat they're playing with. I think, like, she genuinely enjoys the boys because, like, they work for her.
Yeah.
So I do, like, even though, like, she's a soup and they're trying to kill her, like, I do think, like, I don't know. Is she a good person?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, we haven't, yeah.
Because, like, I generally enjoy her character, and I honestly, like, kind of cheer for her.
Yeah, I mean, she isn't as outright. I mean, she's definitely not like Homelander. She's not just murdering people for the sake of murdering people, but she does, at the same time, kill a lot of people.
Yeah, like, I mean, she literally killed everybody in that court scene.
Yep.
And, like, it seems like a lot of innocent people died. Mm. So it's, like, hard to be like, yeah, she's like, yeah, good person. But it's like,
so the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing.
Yeah, she's at least neutral. Like, maybe anti-hero-ish.
Yeah. I mean, she's anti-Homelander.
I don't know. She is. But she does also teams up with it. Just hard to, she's a hard person to read.
Yeah, that's fair.
She genuinely cares about Huey.
Yeah, stole the virus to do what with it exactly? She
stole the virus. I think
to kill Homelander. Right.
Yeah. It seems like her love interest, Samir, was able to replicate it, right?
I don't know if he replicated it or not, but I think because they were down to like the last bit.
Yeah, so they had a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So it seems like they were testing animals to try to kill the animals. Right?
Yeah, they were
furthering.
Yeah, they were injecting the animals with V so they could test the virus on them.
So this is where my confusion is, because this is obviously Gen V spoilers, but at this point, I feel like you should be watching Gen V.
Yep.
So Gen V spoilers, just in case you do want to watch the show. In Gen V, the virus has already basically made to kill people.
Yeah, that's
And she has,
it does seem like
she has a whole container.
Yeah, it does seem like in Gen V, like they had already gotten the virus to a point that it was a lot more scary than all of a sudden they're like acting like it is.
And now it seemed like maybe she was trying to, this is my theory. I think she got Samir and some other lab assistants at her farm in a really remote location. She was trying to make it, test it, and make it kill Homelander.
Yeah, I think that trying to like soup it up specifically for that purpose and not necessarily like, because that in Gen V, they were trying to make it like as transmissible as possible. Yep. And maybe that's not their goal anymore, to make it like a super virus that just like contaminates everyone, but instead of more of a targeted thing.
Well, if you think about the chickens and the sheep that were in there, they were all Homelander powers.
That's true. Flying around.
They were all flying. Yeah. So I wish they would have developed this more. I do think this is a really weak written episode, at least this part of it, because I feel like they could have been more explained what's going on. Seems like they were just there walking.
Yeah.
So they go to the chicken part of the barn, and the chicken just straight up kills a dude. Just
flies right through him.
Just right through him. But can't fly through doors.
Yeah, the wooden doors are too much. Yeah.
They close the doors and they're like boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yep. Yep.
So they end up walking to the other part of the barn. or other part of the farm. And as they're walking, Victoria, they all had like different moments. I know Stan Edgar was like, how is surprising that you guys are still alive after all this. And I don't know, like, I'm like, one, I think the show is like kind of making fun of the fact that these characters have plot armor.
Yeah, some pretty extreme plot armor. You,
like a lot of these characters, like a lot of characters have died, but the core of the boys still hasn't. So I think he's making fun of that. But also it's like the most generic joke you can make in that moment too.
Yep.
And then there was a moment between Victoria Newman and Starlight, because Starlight's powers is waning.
Yeah, not working for some reason.
Spider-Man 2 not working.
Yep. She's got a mental block. Thought,
do you think that's what it is? It's a mental block?
I mean, what else would it be, I guess?
It does seem like it's a... Yeah. But I mean, like, she also is losing her shit.
Yeah.
Victoria Newman, I forget what she said, but just, like, popped her in the mouth.
Yep. Something about, yeah.
Then my reaction was like, God damn it, Starlight. It's like, you're just fucking popping people left and right. Like, she could murder you in an instant. Mm. It's like the one person you probably shouldn't pop.
Right. Because she could pop you back.
But again, this is, like, the third or fourth time they, like, tried to kill her, and she just laughs it off or just, like... Does it do anything? I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
But yeah.
I know that. Yeah. We'll move on. So they go to the sheep. Oh, there's the bull, and they're scared of the bull. And the sheep out of nowhere just
murder the bull,
kills them. They find Samir. He has the one little container, the one little vial. And it seemed kind of like, oh, we have one vial, but we also have to escape. I felt like a little weak because I didn't really feel the moment. I didn't feel like they were that much in danger, but they were.
Yeah, it was kind of, like weird. Contrived. Yeah, contrived stakes. Like, oh, I guess we have to use the virus to escape all of a sudden. Yeah.
They're protected. They're behind wooden doors.
They were safe in there. I liked Butcher's idea more.
You know, if you just...
Just run and don't have to outrun all of you. Just kind of outrun one of you.
Oh, Butcher, he is. Yeah, we'll get to him in a moment. So they put him. I like Frenchie's joke. Yeah, too.
I don't know if it was a joke as much as just he's like so gone that he couldn't. How is he gonna fuck the sheep?
We put him into the guy, and then they'll kill him. And they're like, how is he gonna?
Yeah, that's so good.
like that's great. And then Stan Edgar's like, the fuck's wrong? No.
They're gonna eat him. Yeah.
I will say though, it worked.
Their plan worked. Yeah.
It worked. They all died. And if they're all Homelander, supposedly should be able to kill Homelander, right?
Yeah. I mean, they are still cheap.
Like, I think that's the big takeaway here. Because at the end of it, he captures the dude, chops off his legs. Which I feel like is a very sadistic part, but I thought about it more. Legs. Why would you chop off his legs?
Why? Well, the reason why he said it did it was that was the only way they believed he was actually dead, as if there was just like a leg left. Because if he just disappeared, then they probably would have wondered where he went.
Did they explain
that? That's what he said, yeah. That's what he told them.
Oh, never mind. I didn't think they explained it. I just thought
okay. Yeah, that's what Butcher told him at the end. He's like, you'll be fine. We'll get you fixed up right as rain. But that was the only way they believe you're actually dead.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character showed up there too. And I think that was the moment where he was looking and the guy looked at him like, what are you doing? And I think that, like, to me, confirmed that, like, he is indeed, like...
I didn't catch that when I watched it.
Mm-hmm. I watched it a second. Yeah. I watched this episode twice because I wanted to, like... But that was my big thing. I'm like, he's definitely not there. Like,
I mean, it makes sense. He's losing his mind. He's got brain worms.
So what do you think those worms are? Because there's one more other moment too.
There's like the rabbit that has like the things coming out of it too. And then he stomps it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And also like, I don't know if it probably doesn't have anything to do with it, but Victoria Newman's daughter also has tentacle mouth thing, which was kind of similar to those.
Good. What do you think is happening? I have a theory, but I want to know what you think first.
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with, because we never really learned like how V was made to begin with. Like where they got you know, like this super drug, you know, so maybe there's going to turn out that there's something more to where it's coming from. And now that it's mutating or something because of how it's being used.
So this is what it reminds me of. And this kind of leads into my theory. One, I've been dealing with a lot with illithids, mind flayers. I mean, Stranger Things, obviously, Baldur Gate as well. Also my recent D&D podcast, one of the NPCs that my character got really close to, transformed into mind flayer. It was really, tragic for my character, but I keep thinking like, is Butcher infected with an illithid or a lithid like creature? Cause it seems that way. He has a worm inside him. He is also now hallucinating at least one person, if not two, and also on top of the fact that he mysteriously murdered somebody.
Yeah, they did talk about him killing Ezekiel more in this episode. Kind of brought that up more.
And he's like, I blocked out, and I came to.
And he was just a mess so everywhere. This is, yeah, I remember that.
This is my theory. I don't think it's straight up a mind flayer because it doesn't match. But I think this is the show's version of Venom.
Yeah, some sort of.
I think parasite. It might even go into like how Gen V was created and like how people are getting superpowers. But I do think there is going to be an alternative way to get powers, and it's how Butcher got it. And I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character might be a split personality of his. And maybe when he passes out, he then becomes a super, or he gets the superpowers.
Yeah, I could see that.
And
I think that, yeah. It is weird about like the rabbit and stuff, though. Like, is it like like something that's going to happen to more people? Is it because, is it something that happens when people get shot up with V when they're older?
Yeah.
Instead of when they're a baby. Because there hasn't been a whole lot of people that have done that.
As adults. Because like I just remember watching Butcher looking at the rabbit and him just like being kind of disgusted by it, but not disgusted as like, it seemed like he was familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like he looked at it and he was like, oh.
That's what's inside of me. Yeah.
And then he killed it. I don't know. There's so much that were there. And I thought it was just an interesting.
That is one of the more interesting storylines, I think, going on this season for sure. Is wondering what's going on with Butcher.
Because something's happening. That my theory is he has a venom parasite.
Yeah, I think it's definitely some sort of a parasite.
Moving forward, let's talk about Vought 52. Clearly making fun of Disney Expo.
Yep. They have 17 phases planned out and they're going to go into detail about each one.
There's so many jokes. I like wrote notes down because I'm like, there's so many like good jokes here. Like one of like A-Train talking about his show training with A-Train. One Will Ferrell.
Yeah, being the coach. Yeah.
But I also just like, he's like, man, this show got more reboots and it's now the most expensive television show of all time. It must be good, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're so making fun of Disney here.
Yeah, I like and the Deeps line or whatever. Instead of go woke, get broke, go woke, get yoked.
Or what else? Tech Night was like, hey, it's been a year since my movie. Reboot time, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are so going hard.
Yeah, right
now. Or just like, we already talked about the three black characters.
Yeah, black at it.
Black I just like a little bit of jokes here and there. Or firecrackers, like, oh, Lord, the Lord.
Yeah, give me the strength, guys. Yeah. All the like, little videos, awful. Yeah.
And then Homelander just tweaking the background.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Homelander and Ryan this episode. That's a story worth mentioning. Homelander and Ryan. Ryan talks about how he doesn't want to do the show. He doesn't want to be part of like this teen superhero. Mm. And then the director is like, well, we already have all the equipment for it. And he's like, if he doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to do it. It's like, and I'm like, I get the director. Do you think so? With all that playing out, with Ryan basically making the director apologize and then having the woman slap him.
Yeah.
Is Ryan too far gone?
I don't know, because at the same time, his whole thing was when Homelander asked him what he really wanted to do, he said that he wanted to help people for real, like actually save people.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he, I think that he does, and he might be warped into what that means, you know, being manipulated, what it means to save people, you know.
But he has a really good background. His mom's really caring. He even mentioned it, like, this is what my mom would want me to do if I were to use my powers. I question if he's too far gone, because if he, let's say if Homelander either gets killed or if they take him away from Homelander, is that just not make Homelander a murderer in his eyes?
Yeah.
Would he not take the lessons that Homelander has for him?
Yeah, that's tough. It's a matter. Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't know.
So I'm just like I feel like he's too far gone. I feel like no matter what happens, he's gonna go down that path at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, having her slap the crap out of him while he smiled there. Yeah,
yeah,
that was a little too far.
You know what? Another thing I like about this season. Homelander, for the piece of shit that he is, and like, he genuinely cares about Ryan. Mm. Like, even though like the lessons he's teaching him and like the messages he's giving to Ryan is really fucked up and really opposite of what his mom told him. Mm. Like, he's not toxic. He's not abusive. He's genuinely trying to give Ryan like the best,
the childhood that he never had.
Childhood.
Yeah.
While still being the narcissist that he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm like, I kind of like Homelander in these moments here, even though like it's still really fucked up.
It's but, a
like,
weird. Yeah, you can tell that. Scared. Yeah. You can definitely tell he definitely cares. He's Ryan is like his one. It's almost like his only other person that he considers like equal.
Yeah. So Sage is in the background. She goes up the A train and she's complaining about the leak.
Mm. Basically all but confirms, yeah she basically confirms that she knows that it was him, but I think she's playing her own like 4D chess too, so
I guess
she would be kind of considered the new villain of the season, right?
Kind of, but I don't,
even if she's not like an outright villain, she is like the new force that's kind of causing problems.
I mean, she's furthering Homelander's agenda and doing it in a very vicious way. Yeah. I mean, she sent Firecracker to essentially get beaten. And it seems like her and Firecracker are now at it. Because she's like, you knew I was going to get beaten. Like, yeah, but now you can play the victim for real this time.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that line. Like, you can now, you don't have to pretend. You can just be the victim. You got your ass. Yep.
I have a weird respect for Sage. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Like her,
morally,
like the first time when she meets with Homelander, the way she talks to him and stuff like that, like I can respect that.
Yeah, like you get it to a degree, all right.
And also at the same time, the kind of idea of like being the smartest person in the world and just like not knowing what to do with all that intellect, never being able to like do anything with it, and then all of a sudden being given an opportunity to basically do whatever you want. Like I can kind of understand like not being able to pass up an opportunity like that. When you're at that level.
Yeah. Why would you? What do you think her end game is? Do you think her end game is with Homelander, or do you think she's going to betray him?
I think she's going to betray him at some point.
Do you think she's going to betray him before she's forced to? Or like, because I know she will, if when she's pushed comes to shove, she will, at least try to push. I don't know. It doesn't seem like she's fully on Homelander.
Mm. She's more like, but I'm like, I'm trying to think,
like, yeah, I'm just like, I'm curious what her end game
is. Yeah, because I mean, I don't think she has a way that she can get rid of Homelander, so she can't like turn her back on him and then just exist in the world with him. It's like the only way that she can outright like turn on him would be if he's taken out of the out of the picture at the same time.
Yeah. And then so the last little bit too, A-Train and Ashley. A-Train basically
unlikely told partnership. Her that, like, hey.
And he's like, hey, if I go down, you go down. I need you to help me. And a weird power dynamic. And then she even said, like, I'm not part of this rebellion train. Of course, A-Train is like, no,
you are. Yeah, you are now. Yeah.
You took one shit in the toilet. You are now part of it.
Yeah. Double decker. Gotcha.
And now, and then, Tucker Carlson of the Vought universe is now
offered up as a sacrifice. Yeah.
So I thought it was just an interesting, where do you think that's going to play out between A-Train and Ashley?
Well, I think that they're like two people that have a lot of intimate knowledge of Vought and are able to, you know, get certain things and whatnot that they wouldn't be able to have access to before. I do see A-Train probably end up being like dead though, like a heroic sacrifice kind of thing. Like, comes out and finally goes against Homelander just to get absolutely destroyed.
I made the prediction that A-Train's dead. Like, I don't think he makes it out of this.
Yeah, season. I don't think so. I think in a redeeming way, I think he will be fully redeemed upon his death.
I think he will be redeemed in a way. He is redeemed already with Huey. I think he will do something vital that helps the boys and gives them the edge that they need. But I think he dies doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption.
But who knows? The boys might also be like, aha, you think that.
Yeah, right. He makes it to the end, yeah. Or he just does a triple turn and goes back to the side of the Homelander and Vought.
What if Homelander is just like booking it in one direction and A-Train just happens to be, he steps 1 foot off the curb.
Just gets blown out. I mean, Homelander's not super fast like that, is he though? Not like Superman.
I mean, he's super fast and flying.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So I guess it's basically the same
thing. If those two run into each other, I don't know. What do you think about the Gen V cameos with Sam and Kate and Techno?
Yeah, it was a little weak, to be honest.
Underwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I thought. I was like, I thought these characters would have more. But there was the speech at the end that might lead to them being doing bigger things.
Yeah.
And then obviously the killing of the sacrificial lamb of Tucker Carlson. I forget the guy's actual name.
Irrelevant.
Cameron Coleman. Cameron Coleman. I have it in front of me. I should just read it. I thought his speech was interesting, where like, you're no longer beloved celebrities. You are wrathful gods.
Yes, that part was interesting.
And there's one part in the comics where Homelander and his team of superheroes do take the White House. And I think that's what's happening.
So we're building to that.
And there is. So let's talk predictions. Because the only other thing that we really have to talk about is the fact that Frenchie gives himself up.
Yep.
Stupidly.
Yep.
And it sounds like a stupid Frenchie thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh. One second. All right. So the next three episodes called Dirty Business, The Insider, and Assassination Run. And I have a feeling that Singer is going to be the target, if not dead,
by the end
of episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, someone's got to give. Right now, they're at kind of like a stalemate almost, like, or at least like they're pushing against each other. So it's got to go one way or the other. And this is the penultimate season, so you know it's not going to go the way of the good guys, if you call them the good guys.
Yeah. Where do you think this ends?
The show or the season?
The season.
You know, I'm not really sure, to be honest. Like, at what point, like what more is going to happen? I guess the season's been kind of weird. I don't know if we'll get like a reveal of what's going on with Butcher by the end, or if that'll be left into the next season, or.
I think Bobby Boy continues the tradition of dying in an Eric Kripke show. I think he gets assassinated, and I think the poster of Homelander and Victoria Newman this is conspiracy theory. Yeah, yeah. I don't
know. Well, no, I'm saying spoilers for Supernatural.
They also meet Scooby-Doo. Spoilers.
Yeah.
That's the one episode I watched.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
It is. My sister yelled at me, like, you can't watch that episode if you ever watched the rest of Supernatural. I'm like, yes, I did. I just
yeah,
did.
I mean, it's definitely like a spin-off episode, like a standalone one.
It is. I think Victoria Newman is the president at the end of this. And I think Homelander is vice president, if not Killer. I don't know. I think he works his way as the president of the United States.
By the end of the season? I mean, that would put him at the even higher threat than he is, even though I don't know how much that really gets you when you're already above the law and can do whatever you want.
What's the word for it? The allegory?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Like, he's the allegory of Trump, right? Mm. Like, that's the reference.
Definitely.
So season. if you take it to its fullest, he becomes president.
Yep.
And I think that's where they're leading to. I think he either takes it by force, January 6th style, or he becomes the vice president of Newman.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good prediction. I think that's a pretty good prediction.
Maybe A-Train dies trying to save the White House or like help with the, I don't know. That is my prediction. Anything else, Brandon?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I think at that, we should call it good.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Brandon.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right. Stay tuned. We will be talking to Acolyte if I have enough time, at least on this episode. Otherwise, I will do it in a separate episode that I will release Tuesday. All right. Thanks, Brandon. Thank you.